Now look at the fourth and last part of the test. Part four consists of two tasks. You'll hear five short extracts in which different people are talking about tourism. Look at task one. For questions 23 to 27, choose from the list A to H each speaker's occupation. Now look at task two. For questions 28 to 32, choose from the list A to H each speaker's aim for the future. You'll hear the recording twice, and while you listen, you must complete both tasks. You now have 40 seconds to look at part four. Speaker 1.
Increased numbers of visitors would, of course, be a great benefit to the locality. My worry is, though, whether we have the infrastructure to cope. I'm not really concerned about the bed and breakfast sector. There's a certain amount of slack in the system. But what about transport? The railway line was removed 20 years ago, and the centre gets choked up with cars as it is in the summer, all queuing to go through the narrow medieval gateways, which are a great photo opportunity, but a nightmare for through traffic. Naturally, the pollution levels are rising now from traffic fumes. Reinstating the railway connection would get my vote, but it won't be easy.
Speaker 2.
I think there are some wonderful places to visit around the country, and it's my job to try and include them in our publications, particularly for our profitable export market. But it's all a bit piecemeal, isn't it? Take accommodation, for example. There are some pockets of excellence with great places to stay, run by friendly staff and serving interesting regional food. But you should see the pile of correspondence we receive from disappointed tourists. It's generally about the mismatch between price and quality. It's very hard to know what to recommend when we have to update our accommodation sections, especially in London. Quality across the board, that's the way forward.
Speaker 3.
Well, I think we really need to aim to try to get as many tourists as possible, but we should start focusing on different groups. One of our key tasks has always been to gather information from overseas markets and feed it back to local tourist organisations throughout the country here so that they can develop products that suit. Currently, we're thinking of marketing certain regions to the more mature, higher-spending travellers who could come outside the summer holiday period in order to extend the main tourist season. These travellers are primarily people who love historical buildings, gardens, walking and other activities which can be done in the spring and autumn.
Speaker 4.
I think tourism can bring benefits if handled wisely. One scheme which is close to my heart is the regeneration of the rural economy. By promoting traditional crafts and setting up visitors' centres to see these in action, it would be possible to go quite a long way, but we need to consider the wider issues. For instance, what means of transport are all these people going to use to get here, and where are they going to stay? Can we encourage only those who do the least damage? I fear that won't happen. The short-term considerations always win. People fail to understand how difficult it is to reverse damage to our surroundings.
Speaker 5.
In this business, you can't stand still. We've done a lot to make the inside attractive and informative over the years. Set up educational displays about everyday life 500 years ago. Redecorated the bedroom where Queen Elizabeth slept in 1570. We also restored the 18th century kitchen to its former layout, and we do cooking demonstrations for schoolchildren. This year, it's the outside. I want to encourage families to pay to see our extended garden and zoo, and the demonstrations of archery and medieval combat. To be profitable, we really do need visitors to stay longer and spend more money in the garden's shop and restaurant.
Now you'll hear the recording again. Speaker 1.
Increased numbers of visitors would, of course, be a great benefit to the locality. My worry is, though, whether we have the infrastructure to cope. I'm not really concerned about the bed and breakfast sector. There's a certain amount of slack in the system. But what about transport? The railway line was removed 20 years ago, and the centre gets choked up with cars as it is in the summer, all queuing to go through the narrow medieval gateways, which are a great photo opportunity, but a nightmare for through traffic. Naturally, the pollution levels are rising now from traffic fumes. Reinstating the railway connection would get my vote, but it won't be easy.
Speaker 2.
I think there are some wonderful places to visit around the country, and it's my job to try and include them in our publications, particularly for our profitable export market. But it's all a bit piecemeal, isn't it? Take accommodation, for example. There are some pockets of excellence with great places to stay, run by friendly staff and serving interesting regional food. But you should see the pile of correspondence we receive from disappointed tourists. It's generally about the mismatch between price and quality. It's very hard to know what to recommend when we have to update our accommodation sections, especially in London. Quality across the board, that's the way forward.
Speaker 3.
Well, I think we really need to aim to try to get as many tourists as possible, but we should start focusing on different groups. One of our key tasks has always been to gather information from overseas markets and feed it back to local tourist organisations throughout the country here so that they can develop products that suit. Currently, we're thinking of marketing certain regions to the more mature, higher-spending travellers who could come outside the summer holiday period in order to extend the main tourist season. These travellers are primarily people who love historical buildings, gardens, walking and other activities which can be done in the spring and autumn.
Speaker 4.
I think tourism can bring benefits if handled wisely. One scheme which is close to my heart is the regeneration of the rural economy. By promoting traditional crafts and setting up visitors' centres to see these in action, it would be possible to go quite a long way, but we need to consider the wider issues. For instance, what means of transport are all these people going to use to get here, and where are they going to stay? Can we encourage only those who do the least damage? I fear that won't happen, as short-term considerations always win. People fail to understand how difficult it is to reverse damage to our surroundings.
Speaker 5.
In this business, you can't stand still. We've done a lot to make the inside attractive and informative over the years. Set up educational displays about everyday life 500 years ago. Redecorated the bedroom where Queen Elizabeth slept in 1570. We also restored the 18th century kitchen to its former layout. And we do cooking demonstrations for schoolchildren. This year, it's the outside. I want to encourage families to pay to see our extended garden and zoo and the demonstrations of archery and medieval combat. To be profitable, we really do need visitors to stay longer and spend more money in the garden's shop and restaurant.
That's the end of part four. There will now be a 10-minute pause to allow you to transfer your answers to the separate answer sheet. Be sure to follow the numbering of all the questions. The question papers and answer sheets will then be collected by your supervisor. I'll remind you when there is 1 minute left so that you're sure to finish in time. You have one more minute left. That's the end of the test.